people say that there's something else that's special about humans, we just don't know. We don't have enough data to know. All of the evidence points us in the direction, I think, that we should be able to replicate this. And as I said, the reason is that, it's physical stuff that we're made out of. It's a lot of it. It's an extremely complicated configurations. We haven't even scratched the surface of the algorithms that are being implemented there. But what we're moving towards is being able to eventually, scan the entire human brain, replicate the whole thing in a computer. It's a long way off. It's maybe a few decades off, but at
That's not so long.
it's not so long. And at that point, we will be able to answer definitively, is this everything? I mean, it's the same question about your computer. If you replicated all the circuitry and so on in a second computer, would there be something special about your computer that's not capturable? And the answer is no. So we'll see how that turns out.
Well, all I can say is that if we can do that, if we could replicate the behavior of a human brain in a machine, then we could, have the synthetic intelligence design its own successor, which would design its successor and so forth. Unlike for Darwinian evolution, this intelligence would get, well, it would improve incredibly quickly. That might put you out of a job, but on the other hand, that would put all of us out of a job, wouldn't it?
Well, thank goodness we'd be out of a job. We'd get to see the great scientific hypotheses get hypothesized and then proven all in, 5 seconds, and we'd sort of know the answer to what's going on, and then we could just relax and do whatever we do, mountain bike or garden or whatever one likes to do.
Well, that's certainly a rosy future. David Eagleman, thank you so very much for
Great.
speaking with
Thank
us.
you, Seth.
David Eagleman is a neuroscientist at Stanford University, and he is the author of The Brain, The Story of You.
Well, the story of you, I mean, that could have been the title of the show, really, because we're talking about what we are, our brain. And one of the more astounding things, even though we've known about it a little while, but that so much of our brain activity is below our level of consciousness.
And everything that you said now, what I'm saying right now, who knows what is really generating that? I mean, according to David Eagleman, it could be other people, it could be the subconscious. We don't really know what's driving our thoughts and our actions.
Yeah. I thought that the example of the judges, who, of course, had different opinions in the morning and the afternoon, depending whether it was before or after lunch, that's a little bit scary, and obviously in the legal field. But I mean, just in general, my daily life, thinking that while I'm trying to be a rational kid, I'm not,
Okay, so we have this idea that the brain is hidden from us. However, it's still early days in brain research, and we've heard about the suite of new technologies that are coming that may help us understand what actually is going on. Dr. Maharbhai's brain dust may tell us about what's going on in the brain and the central nervous system, but also the ability to perhaps one day hook the brain up directly to prosthetics. He didn't expand on that, but that is one of the ideas he mentioned, so that you'd be able to control prosthetic arms or legs with your mind.
Yeah. It's a very controversial thing. We understand how our kidneys work more or less, how our liver works, all the other organs of our body. We kind of understand it, so we can simulate them with mechanics or electronics or in a computer. But our brain, that's the one organ that we haven't quite figured out. And there are plenty of people who will opine that you're never going to really figure it out. You're never going to be able to say, no, whatever the brain can do, including writing great poetry or whatever, is something we could simulate in a computer.
Well, David Eagleman would disagree that we'd never be able to do that. And I thought some of his predictions of one day uploading ourselves into a computer, and then that question, is that you? It's hard to believe that would be you.
Yeah.
Bunch of ones and zeros.
But I think I would insist on an uninterruptible power supply so that I don't, evaporate from the planet in a hard disk failure.
Right. So the generator goes down and poof, there goes Seth.
Yeah. Along with who knows how many others. That's right. That's not a good thing. I want backup.
I know. It's good to have the physical body for that reason.
Well, that's right. And a lot of people do point out that without the physical body, maybe the brain isn't so good at a lot of things because you rely on the physical body for a lot of input to the brain. The brain's taking care of your physical body, but in some sense, the physical body, by supplying all these sensors, your fingers, everything that are necessary for your brain to do what your brain does.
Computers can't eat donuts.
Yeah, no.
As an example of something that computers can't do, even if they have your brain in them.
That's right.
I'm saying hold on to the physical self for a while, a little bit longer.
Just for the sake of the donuts?
Good afternoon and welcome to Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. And I must tell you that the views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College.
I need a little more oomph.
Give myself a little more oomph. There we go. This is WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves. I'm your host, Lynn, and today we're discussing Dearborn Rotary. And I'm really excited to have you here. So this is Reagan Ford we're going to talk to today. And it's going to be fun.
Yes, it is. And thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks for coming in and telling me all about Rotary. Rotary is something that's been around forever.
Yeah, Rotary International is over 100 years old. And they have, I believe it's somewhat like 33,000 different clubs worldwide. So Dearborn Rotary is one of those clubs. And we've been around since, I want to say, the 20s, without having it in front of me, like 1923, maybe, want to say.
All right.
We have 70 members. We meet every week at Park Place. It's great fun. Yeah, I'm excited to be able to tell you all about it today. So, great club, you know.
Okay. What are some of the projects? What is Rotary all about?
Rotary, like I said, it's a great vehicle for those who want to get involved in the community. Mm-hmm. If you're one of those people who you like to help and you want to serve, I always tell people who ask me, it's ordinary people. The club does extraordinary things, though, if that makes sense. And there's no superstars. It's everybody working together. And a lot of the things we do are right here in Dearborn.
Okay.
And we raise money and we do projects and we give a lot of it back. And most of it stays right here. One of the biggest things we do is with the youth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just go ahead and jump into it. I'll tell you about one of the things we do. We have a scholarship gala. It's an annual deal. We have it this year. It's in April. And we give away over 20 scholarships to Dearborn area youth. And I shouldn't say giveaway. We award deserving youth is what I should say, high school students. And it's anywhere from a $1,500 scholarship to a $7,000 scholarship. And it's a big event. The parents come, some of the big wigs in the city come, and we hand out over $50,000 in scholarships to help, you know. Rotary's real big with education and literacy. The scholarship gala is one of our biggest things we do.
Wow.
And it's probably, we don't give away more money at one single time than that night. And like I said, it's up where near 50 grand, if not more.
So okay.
We're very proud of it. You know,
is this Dearborn public and private schools? Just Dearborn Heights?
It's private and public, and I want to say it's Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. I want to say it's Dearborn area.
Okay.
To be on the safe side, I'm pretty sure. Oh, and if there's kids out there, if there's anybody listening or a parent who has a great youth who does good in school and they do, they're involved in the community and they're just great kids. If you want to apply for one of those scholarships, I wrote the address down. It's our Rotary address, so it's dearbornrotary.org. And without going through it all, if you were just to get on that website, there's a spot where you can fill out an application and apply for a scholarship. And it comes right to us, and our secretary will handle it. And, you know, maybe you'll win some money to go to college, go to HFC.
Yeah. There were worse places you could go.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good local college here.
Yeah, definitely. And it's so impressive. I talk about this almost every time I have somebody in here, and that's the fact that in, May 10th, I think, 2014, it became Henry Ford College.
Right.
So that you are now able to get a four-year degree from the culinary division, which is outstanding.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah.
It takes my mind back to the person from Dearborn. Weren't they on a culinary show? A person from Dearborn won an award, or the TV show, Best Baker or something.
I don't know.
I swear it's in the newspaper. I read it. It's like a year or two ago.
Oh, okay. That's Chef Jablonski. He's the, Chef Chris is the head pastry chef back there.
So oh, cool.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I bet he would know.
I think he would. Tell us about, going back, some of the origins of the, I know you were not around in the 20s, neither was I, but was Henry Ford involved in this at some point, or do we know?
You know, I want to say he was.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say he was. I don't have the history in front of me, so I'd hate to misspeak, but I'm almost positive the first president of Rotary's. And the reason I know this because my last name's Ford. Mm-hmm. The first president, I believe his last name was Ford. So I thought that was kind of cool. And he was a relative. He was in the Ford family. It wasn't Henry Ford. I think he owned a dealership.
Okay.
He was also the mayor or a city council guy or something.
Okay.
Ford. Somebody Ford.
So it's definitely Dearborn rooted.
Yeah. Oh, it's Dearborn rooted. Okay. And Rotary International, I think it was 1906 or something. I know they're 100 years old. Mm-hmm. It started in Chicago.
Okay.
And it was a group of business folks who wanted to, and it's one of the first service groups. Now there's a bunch of them. And they're all, most of them are, you know, have a lot of history. But Dearborn was one of the first, if not the first. And they called it Rotary, which was cool because they didn't meet at one place. They met at different guys' offices or different areas around Chicago. They rotated. Henceforth, okay. It was Rotary. So that's, you know, pretty cool.
Ah, okay.
And Dearborn Rotary has a lot of history. We help, you know, it's not a selfish thing. We do things with other groups, too. Like, we just helped with the Goodfellows. If you know the Goodfellows, they sell the papers so the kids can have the Christmas presents and what have you. So we helped selling the papers last Friday, December 2nd. Mm-hmm. And we're going to help package them. That's coming up here in December, too, right before Christmas. And
about how many kids are benefiting from that this year? Do you have any idea?
No, I don't. I want to say that it's hundreds of them. I know that. And I can say, unfortunately, the amount keeps growing. There's a lot of need. Dearborn's a great town. Mm-hmm. If you don't know, if you live in here, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But Dearborn's great, but people don't know that. Just like other parts of America, not just Dearborn, but there's a lot of poverty and a lot of folks not doing that well in Dearborn right now. And it's a big need. Mm-hmm. And you don't like to talk about it a whole lot because there's so many great things to talk about, but you can't let those disadvantaged and those, you know, who may not be doing that well slip under the rugs. Right. And it doesn't get a lot of, you know, I want to say that our poverty rate's double the national average according to the census, which isn't good. Yeah. So there's a lot of need for groups like Rotary, groups like the Goodfellows. Somebody's got to take care of these folks. So just a great club, you know.
Okay. And you mentioned that the Rotarians are just regular people. How does one become a member of Rotary? Do you need to own your own business? Do you need to have some sort of title in the company you're working for?
Yeah, you have to be a CEO or a royalty. You have to have $1 million. No, I'm just teasing you. No, if that was the case, I wouldn't be here. No, I'm just teasing. It's for anybody. It's for anybody that wants to serve. A lot of the meetings are every Thursday, most every Thursday. Sometimes we don't have them a few times a year for holidays and whatnot. But they're every Thursday at Park Place, and we're a great assortment of people. There's a lot of educators. Dr. Glenn Maleko, the superintendent of Dearborn Schools, is our president nominee in our club. He serves on our board under me. I don't get to say that very often. Doctors under me, you know. But there's educators, there's business people, there's just a whole array of people. You don't have to be special. If you wanted to come, you just you know, feel free. It's a invite to come at 11:30. We meet at Park Place on Thursdays. Lunch is served at 11:30. The program's at noon, and our programs are great. Normally we have a speaker, a very interesting speaker. Sometimes we do special things, and this Thursday I'm inviting all of your listeners, whoever may be out there, to come this Thursday because it's a special meeting. The Henry Ford College Choir is going to be there.
Oh, how nice.
And they're going to serenade us. It's our holiday meeting. We're also having an ugly sweater contest. The winner gets a gift card. Yeah, it's just always something cool going on, you know. And it's just, so if you want to be a part, send us an email, you know, say, hey, I want to come, or just come on down to Park Place. Ask them. Tell them Regan sent you.
Okay. And what is your title in Rotary?
I'm the president.
Okay.
We have a different president every year.
Okay.
What normally happens is the president will serve on the board, and it's a, so I was the president-elect, and I served under a president. It's kind of like a grooming process.
Sure.
So I was the president this year, or I am the president this year. Last year I was the president-elect, and I've served on the board 2 years before that, and each year it's a different president. In fact, the cool part is we've always had a different president. No one has ever served twice in our group. And some groups are different. Some groups have a president because they're smaller. We have 70 members. We're blessed. Mm-hmm. Some smaller groups, because of necessity, they got to have a president that'll serve multiple terms. We've never had that. But the president-elect, which is the guy underneath me, his name's Bob Glykoff. He's going to be the first time in the history of our club to be president next year. And he's already done it once, so he's going to be the first one to do it twice. So we're pretty excited. It's quite an honor.
How long ago did he serve?
I want to say 10 years ago.
Okay.
And it's quite an honor. In fact, he was reluctant to say yes. And I'm new to Rotary compared to some of our members. I've been a Rotarian for 5 or 6 years. I'm not brand new, but normally people who are president have served for Rotary for 10, 20, 30 years even before mm-hmm. they do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know all the ins and outs, and I wanted to make sure that I had a guy helping me who did know the ropes. So I asked Bob personally, Bob Glykoff, if he would, you know, I said, I'll do it, but I'm going to need some help from some of the wiser... more experienced. I'm trying to find any word but older to help me, and he did. You know, he said,
seasoned.
"I'll do it." Seasoned. Thank you. That's a great word. So yeah, I'm the president this year, but next year it'll be somebody else. It'll be Bob. Yeah.
Okay. And does the club run with your traditional four main officers, where you have a president, vice president, secretary, treasurer? Is it that formal?
Yep. We have a president, a president-elect, and a president-nominee.
Oh.
So the president-nominee is expected to be the president-elect and then the president. So it's a three-year hierarchy. And we have a treasurer, we have a secretary, and then we have eight or ten-member board. I'm on the spot. I think it's a ten-member board.
Okay.
And each one is a director mm-hmm. of a certain service group. So Dr. Glenn Maleko, for instance, he is the director of youth service. We have a fundraising director. We have a community service director. So they all play a part. And then there's committees. It's very organized, and there's a lot of work to it. And it's a great group of guys. And you know, we're all volunteers. And it's Rotary is a great name for our group because it is very much so a moving organism, where all the pieces play a part. And like I said, there's no hero or star. You know, there's just people filling in wherever. Right now we're doing Santa Snaps, to give you an idea how much work. Santa Snaps, you heard of the Wayne County Light Fest.
Of course.
At the end of that, there's a white building that every year we have a whole Santa's nice enough to come down from the North Pole, starting the week of Thanksgiving until, I want to say, Christmas Eve.
Okay.
And we have a whole set we put up for Santa so he feels at home. And what we do is, it's a donation. If you've been to the mall and you've took children or grandchildren to see Santa, you know that some of the prices are outrageous. We do it for a suggested donation of $8. And lots of times there's families that come through, they may not have the money right then. You know, it's the holidays, people may be strapped. We print them out a picture for free, you know, if they need be. So it's kind of like a fundraiser for us, but it's also a service, I would call it, because you know, it's a great chance to get a great picture with Santa for free. Right. And it takes 7 or 8 volunteers a night, and it's 35 nights in a row we run this. It's a great ordeal. And the president-elect is in charge of running it each year. So I ran it last year, and not to pat my own back, but last year was our most successful. And I think it was because we had a weak winter, because the weather was nice, and it wasn't anything I did, as much as I'd like to take credit for it. But it was just the perfect weather for it. When it snows more, sometimes, God forbid, they even have to cancel. We haven't had to do that this year. Mm-hmm. So it's just a great thing. So if you're in the area, go see the Wayne County Light Fest anyway. It's a great thing to do. But at the end, come stop in and see Santa Claus at the end. And this year we have a sponsor who is La Fontaine Automotive was nice enough to sponsor us. So when you get your picture, it's a frame and an envelope on the outside of the envelope, you'll see La Fontaine. I'll plug those guys because they did a great job for us. One of their key people, Jessica Haddad, is a member of our club, and she's excellent. She's one of my directors. She's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a place for everybody. And you can always use new volunteers, I'm sure.
Sure. Yep.
Okay.
If you want, a lot of people volunteer for our events all the time, but they're not necessarily members. Now, we try to make them members. We try to smooch on them and try to get them to join, of course. But some of them simply don't have the time, or they can't make the meetings every Thursday, what have you. They still help. So if you're interested in that, if serving a community and your fellow man is your bag, email us. All the information's on the website.
Okay, and that address one more time?
DearbornRotary.org.
Easy?
Yep.
Okay, you were talking about some of the things that happen for little kids with Santa photos, and then a little bit older kids where we have some scholarships for the high schoolers. And I understand there's a project for college age people.
That's a glad you brought that up. Rotary International has what they call Rotaract Clubs. And Rotaract Clubs is, what is it? No, it's a Rotary Club for young people, okay, is what it is, basically. Okay. And we have one here at HFC, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
And it's funny, sometimes the club is stronger with a lot of people, and sometimes it's not so much. And the reason being is that we have to have a student who heads it up. So when that student graduates, sometimes it's a rebuilding process. So right now we're in the midst of a rebuilding process. So if you're out there and you're a student and you really want to be a part of something, we shepherd you along. But you're your own club. You can choose your own projects. You can choose your own things. I mean, we don't, you know, you have full autonomy, so to speak. I mean, within reason. But we shepherd you along. We invite you to our club so you can see what's going on. You have a president. Someone acts as a president of the Rotaract Club. And it's just a great thing. And a matter of fact, do you know Michelle Featherston?
Of course.
Here at Henry Ford? She's a great
lady. She's right
lady.
Next door to us.
Yeah. She's also, not to get off subject, she's a great person for our SODA, Southwestern Outer Drive Neighborhood Association. I was telling you before we went on air. She's basically started that group. She's always been there. But anyway, back to Rotaract. If you're a young person and you go to the college here and you want to be a part of the Rotaract Club, I want you to contact Michelle Featherston. Can I give her email address?
Sure.
It's mfeather@hfcc.edu. So that'd be mfeather@hfcc.edu. And just contact her, and we'll get you hooked up in the Rotaract Club. Okay. It's great.
Give us some examples of some projects from the past that Rotaract has been involved with.
That's a great question. I want to start with the most exciting and most urgent one. One of the things we do, it's not a project, this is an event we put on. Okay. And it's I guess you would label it as a fundraiser because you got to buy tickets to it. But we have, or you guys, I should say, have a HFC big band. The every year we do an annual big band. This year it's January 28th. It's January 28th at the Henry Ford Community College, and we're very excited because we have a special guest, Blue Fusion. I think they're a vocal group, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah. We also have Karen Newman of Detroit Red Wings fame going to be there.
Right.
So it's the 28th. It's at the Henry Ford Community Arts Performing Center.
Oh, okay.
And it's $25 a ticket. I want to say if you got to go to their box office if you want a ticket. You'd have to go to Ford Performing Arts Center and go to their box office for a ticket. Mm-hmm. But it's awesome. The HFC band is awesome. A fellow named Rick Goward, if you know him, he's an old band. I said that word. He's the seasoned band leader, and he's great. And he puts on a heck of a performance, and it's very fun. Old people, elderly people, young people, whoever, they all come. You'll see a lot of dignitaries. The mayor comes. Mayor O'Reilly comes. Mm-hmm. It's just awesome. It's a great night. It's usually holiday themed still, even though it's January 28th. And it's a fundraiser for us, but I just wanted to throw that out there. But another thing we do. What we did Santa Stamps. What else did we do?
But Rotaract.
We did Rotaract.
But what are some of the Rotaract projects with... because That's a great age to have somebody taking charge of a project where they can the business classes start coming into play, and you know, maybe they've had some culinary classes or you know, whatever else here, and they're able to, you know, tackle this thing and make it a success. So besides the big band,
a lot of the things the Rotaract do is we incorporate them. Like a lot of the Henry Ford College kids, even if they're not in the Rotaract, we get most of our volunteers. I have to say the students at Henry Ford College are some of the most, I'm not just saying because I'm in the schools, they're some of the most generous. We get so many volunteers, so many young people. It's quite inspiring to see them. We get so many of them to step up. Our Santa Snaps one I was telling you about, a lot of volunteers come from HFC.
Okay.
But we'll incorporate them. We had an event in the past, if we want to talk about that, called Kids Against Hunger, which was a big project where we send out thousands and thousands of prepared meals. It's those meals, I'm not quite sure how to explain them, but they're dry and sealable. They'll last for a long time.
Okay.
And a third of the meals went overseas to developing countries or those who are in need across the ocean. A third of it went to reserves here in the United States. I want to say the Michigan, whoever's in charge of the region. And then another third of it goes right to local churches and groups who have already outlined and found those who are in need in our own community. But okay. We had it here at Henry Ford College. I believe it was in the cafeteria. We must have had 200 or 300 or 400 people show up. And the young people were a part of that. And we just incorporate the Rotaract kids into some of our fundraisers and projects. As for ones they do on their own, they're free to come up with ones on their own. I can't tell you, I'm trying to think of one that they've done in the past, and I'm drawing a blank. I know they've done a lot of big ones, but like you said though, if a kid wants to be a part of Rotaract and they have their thing is culinary, like you said, they can, you know, it's just whatever on their mind, whatever their biggest what they feel the biggest need is, they can start their own service project using Rotary as a vehicle to help with it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, is Rotary is this a pitch and then Rotary says yes or no to the particular project? Because they are still fairly young people that we're talking about without a whole lot of life experience.
Right. I would say in the end, I think we would have to approve it, but I'm not aware of any time where there wasn't something we would approve. I mean, of course, if you had something that was inappropriate or something, of course, we'd have to say no.
Right.
But in general, we're not, shooting people down. Oh, no, you can't do this, or no, you can't do that. It's nothing like that. Any little or big project the kids come up with, the students come up with, I mean, we're all for it. We're gung-ho with you.
Okay.
So it's not one of those deals. And in the end, we're responsible because we sponsor you. So, of course, we'd probably have to approve it.
Right.
We do a telegraph cleanup, which is Telegraph Road from Michigan Avenue all the way past Cherry Hill, almost a ford. We pick both sides of the median, or both sides of the road and the median.
Okay.
And we do it in the spring and the fall. We get a lot of help from the students then. And just keep great way to keep Dearborn looking nice. That's in the end, that's what we want to do. We have little free libraries. Those are those, what's the best? It's like a mailbox you would see, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you put it in front of a business or even in front of someone's house or at the park, and it's free. You know, the books are free. You're responsible for going there and checking them out and putting them back in. And we obviously got donations to start those because, the little free library has to have books in it to begin with.
Of course.
So we had donations that way. We have quite a few of them throughout the city. And it was great for me personally because I got youngins. I got a 12-year-old son and an 8-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And I think she's 9 now. She's going to be mad at daddy. But make a long story short, they closed our library.
Oh.
Closest to us. Snow Woods. Snow Woods. They closed it up in 2011 and 2012. And, of course, we got the Henry Ford Centennial Library, which is perfect. But, every now and then kids want to go to the, they want to walk to the library.
Walk or take a bike.
So I was happy to see our club get involved with the little free libraries,
Yeah.
And
so who maintains that then? Are you in charge of the maintenance? There has to be some kind of overseeing or it's going to just fall apart.
We basically approach businesses and individuals, homeowners, and whoever agrees to have it at their property is kind of responsible for it.
Oh, okay.
So, if they need something from us or they need more books or what have you, we help them. But the person who agrees to do it. And people have seen them throughout the neighborhood, and I get emails or calls all the time asking if we got any more, because we actually build them. We build them ourselves.
Oh,
we had a
okay.
bunch of guys come over, and we cooked hot dogs and drink pop. And we built them right there.
Okay.
And I was lucky to have a bunch of guys come over. We did it at my house. And I'm not very handy. If you'll ask my wife, she'll tell you. So I had all the tools. I just needed some fellas to come over and help me use
hands.
Them. Right. Nah, we built them, and they looked cool. We painted it up, put Rotary stickers on them. So.
Okay. I've driven by the one at Good Shepherd on Monroe. I've seen that one a number of times.
Okay, yeah.
Back and forth.
And not every one you pass is over, because there's other groups that do a little free libraries. There's Matter of fact, I think another Rotary Club has a few, like the Dearborn Heights Rotary Club.
Okay.
And I've seen other people do them too, but we wanted to get involved with that, so it's cool. Did I talk about Pro-Literacy Detroit?
Not really.
That is a nonprofit. It's a nonprofit, and it teaches adults who don't know how to read how to read. Mm-hmm. It's hard to think about that, especially in Detroit with the poverty. There's people who can't get jobs. They can't fend for themselves. It's hard to get a job. It's hard to provide for themselves. And they need help. So this is a nonprofit that teaches them how to read. They don't even know how to read. That's part of the problem. If Lord knows, if you didn't know how to read, you couldn't do anything, you know?
Right, right.
So it's a nonprofit that teaches adult literacy. And we have a big adult literacy breakfast every year where we raise thousands and thousands of dollars for this group. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of inspiring because they'll bring people who have been a part of their program who couldn't read and now they can. And they tell their success story. And this year we had it at Henry Ford Village.
Okay.
The residence over there?
Yes.
Off of, what's that, Greenfield?
That's Ford and Greenfield.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was a great deal. It was a great breakfast. Henry Ford Village, shout out to them. They help us. They had a great spread. It's a breakfast, you know, so they had the eggs and the bacon and everything, and they prepared it real nice. It's a beautiful location, and they gave it to us at a real steep discount. I almost want to say they did it for us for nothing. They sponsored it. They helped us. But we want to thank them very much for that. And you just got to see the people come up, most of them from Detroit, and they were talking about how they couldn't read, now they can, and they have programs. And it's just adult literacy is a major problem, especially in Metro Detroit, and Rotary helps with that too, you know.
A number of years ago, I saw a film. I have no idea what it was. And there was a scene where there was a dishwasher at a restaurant, and somebody had moved some of the supplies around, and he did not understand that the box he was about to grab was rat poison.
Oh, geez.
And it's just because he could not read. I mean, it's something that we just take for granted.
Yeah.
So the stories would be wonderful to hear.
Yeah, it's amazing. Our longtime member, Diane Ives, she helps put it on. Diane's a great lady. Her and her husband, Jim, are both members of our club. Jim was a president of our club. But he also went on to be district governor, which is a pretty big honor, I should say. The way Rotary, not to get into it too much, but the way Rotary International is organized is they have our club, and then they have a district, which is made up of about, you know, 50 to 100 clubs.
Okay.
And then they have zones. Now, we're talking worldwide. They have zones that may have 50 to 100 districts in them. So it's Rotary International, zones, district, and then the individual's club. So there's four layers. So if you're a district governor, you've done something in Rotary. You're somebody who's shown a great desire to help people and have done a great job with your organization skills. But Diane, she puts this event on, the Pro Literacy Detroit Breakfast, and it's just a great event. And the cool thing about Rotary is it's nationwide, so we represent many, many countries.
Mm-hmm.
And our district actually encompasses clubs that are in Canada as well, because it doesn't matter what religion you are, it doesn't matter what country you're from or what your allegiances are to, you can be a Rotarian, which is kind of cool, you know. And we recognize them, but we don't, if you're from Canada, you know, you can still be a part of it. So our district, you would think that they would have the Michigan district, the Ohio district, the Indiana district. It's not that way. You know, the districts are over state and even nation boundaries sometimes,
okay,
which is pretty cool.
All right.
A lot of people don't know that about Rotary. I didn't know that until about 2 years ago. So.
And you had been there a little bit by that
right.
point.
Right, yeah.
With regards to the organization, so you have these groups that are sort of put together, if you will, and are there projects that come to you from the national or international Rotary and gets into your regional groupings where you have all these groups from Southeast Michigan, you have groups from Ohio or what have you, and so these 50 groups that you were talking about, do they work on projects together?
That's a fantastic question, and the answer is yes.
Okay.
Rotary International has specific things that they do, and they promote clean water worldwide. They promote peace. education and literacy, one of the biggest things they do and what they're known for is eradicating polio, and they've almost succeeded. Wow. People, I'm 36 years old. Even people, a generation, people my age and younger don't know about polio that much because it's not around no more because they almost eradicated it. Mm-hmm. But it used to be probably the worst disease. It was the cancer of the 1930s and 40s, even worse. I mean, it was, and what they'll do is they'll go into a third world country. Mm-hmm. Our club will send doctors, they'll send nurses, and they'll set up big tents. I've never been, I'd like to go one time. It's a humanitarian project for a short story. And they'll just have lines of kids, hundreds of thousands, adults and kids, I should say, and they'll just eradicate people who have no access to medical supplies. We'll bring the supplies. Yeah. And that's a situation where groups from all over the world, all over our district combined. And if there's a situation where we can't send people, you know, the groups will send the money. I spoke earlier about, earlier in the year, we had the Kids Against Hunger project here at the school,
right,
where we made the food and a third of it went here and there. That was a district event where a bunch of clubs from our area, not all of them, but Dearborn Heights, Taylor, a bunch of them, I don't want to name them all because I'll miss someone. We did that together. Uh-huh. It was a group district. That's why there were so many people there. And
sometimes you just need the bodies.
Yeah. Yep. So they do a lot of Rotary International has their goals that they want to achieve. And of course they want to use their clubs to help achieve that. I like the international stuff, but I like keeping, I like the community projects just because that's where I'm from. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I think it's easier to raise money when you're telling people it's going back to your community. Because for whatever it's worth, some people don't want to send it to Zimbabwe or somewhere. They want to know that it's helping a poor person or a hungry kid in Dearborn as opposed to somewhere. And I kind of understand that a little bit. I like the helping people in our community. But it's a balance. It's a great balance Rotary has with helping those in the community and abroad. Because you can't forget about everybody, of course. You know, I mean, you got to help those overseas and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Who's the real rich guy in America? The richest guy in the world. No, not Trump, the other one. Microsoft. What's his name?
Gates.
Gates. Oh. He really got on board with eradicating polio, I want to say, in the 80s. And I don't want to get too deep into the story because I know I'll mess it up, so I don't have the paper in front of me. But basically, he donated millions and millions of dollars to it and for matching funds with Rotary. He was a big help in helping in the 80s and the 90s. And still, to this day, his foundation and his wife and all his people, they work with Rotary and other groups in helping eradicate polio. So we do things like that people don't know about.
Fantastic.
And I'm not even sure if Mr. Gates is a Rotarian or not. I'd like to think he would be, but he donated an awful lot of money.
At least an honorary one, right?
Oh, he better be for that amount of money. But, you know, so to answer your question, the short answer is yes, we do district and international projects all the time where everybody lumps. And that's the power of having a worldwide group.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
As opposed to just having a little Rotary group.
Right, so you know where the needs are. I should know the answer to this, and I don't. Are you part of Homecoming, Dearborn Homecoming?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
That's awesome. We have the fishing derby.
I thought that
yep,
was Rotary.
We have the
okay.
fishing derby.
Okay.
And the kids and the moms and the dads will bring the little ones, and they fish, and there's prizes for the biggest fish.
Okay.
And we set up the poles, Eppinger. For all my outdoor listeners, all my outdoor buddies out there, Eppinger is the ones that makes the lures, and they're based right here in Dearborn.
Oh.
Their headquarters is in Dearborn. Many people don't know that, along with Carhartt, too. Carhartt's headquarters is in Dearborn.
Yeah.
But Eppinger donates they donate the lures for sure, and they also help with the fishing poles.
Okay.
So what you'll see if you go to the fishing derby at Homecoming is you'll see a picnic bench set up with about four or five Rotarians, and we're just putting the worms on the hooks for the youngins, and then we give it to them, and then they go catch a fish. I took my kids this year. You know, it's great fun. Homecoming's great anyway.
Right.
But
what are we catching out of the Rouge?
Oh, geez. I don't even know.
A boot.
I've never fished in it. I bet somebody would have the answer to that. I hate to speculate. Who knows what's in that river? It's getting cleaner, though. It's getting cleaner.
It is, definitely.
So.
And a while ago, I spoke to the Rouge Rescue people.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible stories of what gets hauled out of that river every year. Cars, I mean, refrigerators, huge things that you wouldn't expect. Picnic tables.
I can imagine.
So after they clean up, then the fish can come back. And
they got the canoeing now. You can canoe. canoe down the Rouge River.
Yes.
They had that at homecoming. That was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is, wow, I'm tired. You guys are really, really busy. That's really wonderful. After Christmas, and, you know, everybody's geared up to put money in the various kettles and to, you know, adopt a family and all that kind of thing. What happens after the holidays calm down and it's quiet time and the need is still there, definitely? So how do you handle that?
You know, that's an interesting question, and the answer is you always have to be working. You always have to do something. There's no law for the Rotary, though. I mean, it's 365 days a year. We always have something to do, whether it's a golf tournament raising money, whether we got, you know, the big band thing comes up in January. Mm-hmm. Then it's right onto the scholarships in April, you know. There's always something to do, you know. It's just the need is great. And
what about the summertime when you're working with high school, you're working with college kids, and a lot of them are off for the summertime. Some mm-hmm. have part-time jobs, but a lot of them have time. Do you utilize their time?
Oh, yeah, if we can. We're always, yeah. You know, and like you said, a lot of the, you know, it's harder to get a hold of them because they're out of school, you know. So that's why it's so important we get the Rotaract Club mm-hmm. going at HFC again. Mm-hmm. And it's there. It's just not as strong. We had a young man who was the president of it, and he really had it going, but he had to transfer.
Okay.
He had to transfer. So we're looking for a new president.
Okay.
But the stronger the Rotaract Club is, and the future of Rotary and the future of any club is the youth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons, believe it, I'm 36, so I'm mm-hmm. not a kid or a student by any means, but I'm one of the younger members of our club.
Okay.
And which isn't good, in my opinion. And it's any club. It's any organization. If the millennials and whatever group I'm in, I think they missed me. I think my generation's so boring. The millennials are cool. I don't know what I am, but whatever my generation is, the youngsters who are out of school, we're working now, we got the families. If we don't start stepping up and doing much, these groups are going to struggle.
Sure.
Because it used to be groups and organizations played a bigger role in people's lives, but I think with the advent of social media and things, you know, it's a good, you know, it's not all work, too. There's a lot of socializing that mm-hmm. takes on and fellowship with Rotary, which is good. And I think people don't get a fair, it's just, you know, like bowling teams and stuff. There needs
right.
to be more fellowship and come
right.
on out. Not everything's online. Just because you're chatting online or you belong to a Facebook group doesn't mean that you're fellowshipping on the community like you
right.
should. It's a little
right.
more old school fellowship that some younger generations aren't used to. And I think it's important that they get used to it.
Yeah, face-to-face contact.
Yes,
what a radical thought. I saw something one time and it said something about, how did it go? Texting's a great idea until they make the telephone. And I can't totally disagree with that.
That's a good point.
How about senior citizens? Do you are there any outreach programs that you're facilitating that like a Meals on Wheels kind of thing or something like that where you're helping to socialize with seniors who may be sort of locked in?
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought it up because we help with Meals on Wheels. We have a committee. It's basically let's just call it a Meals on Wheels committee where we have a gentleman that's in charge of it. And he finds volunteers from our club. And we have a lot of elderly, seasoned members, too.
That's right.
So it's natural for us. We do a lot with the senior citizens and things of that nature. We have a golfing tournament.
Okay.
And a lot of our seniors come out for that. They love that. Everybody loves to golf. I like to golf. But
mm-hmm.
but the Meals on Wheels, there's another one. I'm drawing a blank. But there's another thing we do, an outreach. I'll think of it. But the answer is yes. We do things with senior citizens. And it's great, you know. A lot of our members live at Henry Ford Village.
Right.
So there's always little things going on there, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah, we do, you know, young people, elderly people, middle-aged people, you name it.
Right. Okay. Well, there's a lot we can learn from our elders.
Well, ain't that the truth.
And they've sort of gotten thrown away in a lot of ways, you know.
The greatest generation, they call them.
That, too. Yeah. Okay, well, this is Overwhelming. There's so much. There's so much going on. About how much time would any given Rotarian spend on Rotary type projects? So if you're looking to become a new member, what am I looking at? It sounds like I could work about 30 hours a day if I wanted to.
That's another great part of it. It's up to the individual. It's okay. Whatever. Say you are a working person and you have other commitments. We work around that. You know, mm-hmm. whatever. Some people, you know, just come to the meetings and help out a few times a year. Mm-hmm. Some people serve as a director and they work every week. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's something for everybody. Mm-hmm. If you don't have much time, of course you can donate money.
Of course.
If you don't have time but you still want to do something, it's great to come to our meetings or check out our website or find us on Facebook, and you'll always find an upcoming project. Like the Santa Snaps, for example. If you can't do much but you want to help out, you volunteer one day a month for 4 hours at Santa Snaps in the evening. Mm-hmm. Or you can volunteer, like with the Meals on Wheels. You can get in as involved as you want, or it's really up to the individual, right. And there's something for everybody.
Right.
So it's a great question, by the way.
And it's interesting because there's almost no age that's excluded from your organization somehow. So it sounds to me like it would be a wonderful thing for a family.
Yeah, more families the better.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a picnic, you know, we'll have some events designed just for Rotarians and their families. And
okay.
It's great to see them come out.
Sure.
We need more of the families to come out and you know, associate. We had one, there's a place on Van Bourne. What's that place where they got the mini golf and the go-karts?
Yeah. That's near Monroe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
I don't know what its name is. It's just
I
been
know.
There forever.
We had our picnic there, and
okay.
It was great.
Okay.
There was kids running around. You had, you know, the elderly people and the young people and the young families.
Yeah.
Everybody's putt-putting. Some of the older guys are on the driving range. You know, it's just a great event, a great picnic. And it was for Rotarians. It was just for us,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
That's
just,
okay.
Yeah.
That's
just,
okay.
Yeah.
It's a good way to not meet each other, but know each other
mm-hmm.
a little bit better and know the families of whomever. So this person, this parent, comes to a meeting every week and you don't know anything about the family. It's a great way to figure out if your family can get along with that family in a strictly social perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a good point, too, because it's a great place to network
mm-hmm.
as well. And originally, I'll be honest, the thing that drew me to it was the networking. I'm a business owner.
Okay.
And a lot of the members in the Rotary Club are as well business owners. So it's a great, you know, so-and-so is a dentist, so-and-so is a lawyer, you know. Fellowship, networking, mm-hmm. It's a great place for young or old professionals. It's a great place for the single mom, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever you want to do. It's
mm-hmm.
it's really something for everybody.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. There's a lot more to Rotary than I knew.
More than I knew till I got involved. It's funny because you can be a member or you can serve on the board, and it's really two different things.
Okay.
I didn't realize, you don't really know about your club until you're involved serving it on a day-to-day basis.
Sure.
And I still don't know anything really compared to some of the other people that have been there for a while. But there's just so much that goes on. There's just way more than I thought. You know, you can go to the meetings for 10 years, and if all you do is show up at the lunch and eat the lunch and listen to the speaker, you'll have no idea. And a lot of people do that, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still donate when they can. They still help out here and there. But for the most part, they just come to the meetings because they like eating our food and listening to our good speakers.
Okay.
But you really don't know what goes on until you start serving on the board.
Sure.
And I also want to say real quick, there's the Dearborn Rotary Club, which I'm the president of.
Okay.
There's also what we have called the Dearborn Rotary Foundation.
Okay. Talk about that.
It's our giving arm.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I say we donate money to children,
mm-hmm.
it's the Dearborn Rotary Foundation that actually does it.
Okay.
So we do all the work, they spend all our money, basically.
Okay.
So say, as president, I see a need. Say there's a needy family that needs $500 for Christmas. I can't give it to them. My board can't vote. We vote to make a recommendation to our foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And 9 times out of 10, they approve the recommendation, of course.
Sure.
But it's our foundation. The foundation is it's a lump sum of money that we've acquired over the years, and it's very well managed. and they give so much money away. But it's two separate bodies. It has its own board, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
So there's the Dearborn Rotary Foundation and the Dearborn Rotary Club, which I'm the president of the club.
Right.
We do the work. We put on the projects. We hold the fundraisers, and then they manage the assets and how much money we give. Because it's just like it's a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that you're there for the long run.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? So really, we're very blessed, our club. We have, without getting into specifics, we have much more money than other clubs. So we're in a great position to be there and to do a lot of good work for many, many years. And when you're dealing with sums of money,
mm-hmm.
it has to be managed the right way professionally. We're lucky to have a lot of good business owners, like I was saying, a lot of people who are in business who can serve on that board and know how to maintain it and how to make it grow
right.
and how to use it properly
right.
so that we can give maximum amount of money to people and still be there the next year to give maximum amount of money.
Right.
So
your endowment fund is strictly for Dearborn Rotary. Each Rotary Club has its own fund?
No.
Okay.
Some other clubs may be larger and have their own foundation. They
mm-hmm.
There may be other ones, but you don't have to. Ours was started in the 60s. I want to say that there was a member or two that passed away and left some money to the club.
Okay.
And I think it was started under that guise,
mm-hmm.
if that's a word. Is a guise a word?
Yes.
But
premise.
It was started in the 60s when the club was growing a lot and they had a bunch of money, and they felt that they needed to do that to preserve it and to make sure it was managed right.
Right.
But not some of the smaller clubs, you know, they don't need one, or they don't see the need for it. You know, it really depends up to the club. And I guess, you know, whether it's a small club or a great big club, we have 70 members. We're one of the larger ones in our district. We're one of the older ones, too. If you're a small club, they could have their own foundation,
mm-hmm.
you know, if they wanted to. There's nothing against it. But no, not every club does. And I think it's a blessing that our club does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's you're operating under 501c rules anyway.
Right.
Whether it's coming from the foundation or whether it's coming from the, you know, the group has an account someplace and wants to make a disbursement for this particular person to go to college.
Right.
Someplace after high school. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. So it operates both ways. There's a lot going on that way. What about at the higher levels? When we talk about the 50 group level, if we talk about international, can you approach the international? I'm assuming there's a foundation up there at
yep.
that point.
Yep.
And so you have a special case here in Dearborn, and you're looking for some help from the big guys.
Absolutely.
You can do that, too. You can ask.
Yep.
Well, you can ask. You can always ask.
Here's where I'm probably going to confuse all your listeners.
Okay.
There's Rotary International,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the Rotary International Foundation.
Of course, okay.
So you're exactly right. We could ask for a grant,
mm-hmm.
or a grant, and they grant us money. And, you know, all the clubs do that, you know what I mean? Each club is expected to pay into the Rotary. It's part of some of our dues monies goes towards Rotary International,
okay.
and you can also... You don't have to, but it's expected of you to donate some of your money. It's the 100th year anniversary for the Rotary International Foundation. Now, here's where I'm going to confuse everybody. Rotary International has been around longer than 100 years.
Sure.
But their foundation started later.
Right.
Obviously, it must have been 1916, if this year's the 100th anniversary.
Yes. Yeah.
And, it's, you know, we're expected to donate to it. And we have a little, I guess you'd call it a program. We'll call it a program at our club. It's called Every Rotarian Every Year.
Okay.
And basically every member of our club is expected to donate $100 to the foundation. So if we have 70
okay.
members, we try to donate $7,000.
Okay.
Sometimes we meet it, sometimes we don't. And of course, not all 70 give 100 exactly. Some people may not be able to give 100 as much as they'd like to.
Right.
And some of the, maybe those members who are well off may give more than 100. You
okay.
know what I mean? So.
Okay.
And you know, they give you, there's benefits to doing it. Not benefits, but recognition. Mm-hmm. That's a better word.
Okay.
You'll get a certain pin. They call the Paul Harris. Paul Harris, I want to say he was the founder of Rotary, Paul Harris.
Okay.
It's called the Paul Harris Award. If you give over $1,000, they give you a pin. And that's pretty cool.
Yes, it is.
You get a pin. You can walk around with Paul Harris on your shoulder.
There you go. Oh, this has been fascinating. Give us the contact information one more time. Well, it'll be as many more times as I can ask you to do that.
Well, we're on social media, so you can find us on Facebook.
Okay.
I think you can find us on Twitter, but the best way to contact us is going to the website, which is DearbornRotary.org. And if you want to email us or email me, go to info@DearbornRotary.org. That's the best way to get a hold of us.
Okay.
And if you want to come to a meeting, once again, it's held at Park Place Catering, which is on Park Street in Dearborn, mm-hmm. right behind Village Ford on Park Street. And lunch is at 11:30. The program starts at noon. We're normally out of there by 1 o'clock or a little sooner. And it's a great place to come fellowship, serve, and eat food and listen to a good speaker. So I invite everybody, all your listeners, and you, of course, you're invited.
Oh, thank you so much. Tell me a little bit about some of your speakers and the subjects that the speakers have at these luncheons.
That's big array, big
sure.
array. We had Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy come speak.
Okay.
And they'll come speak about the status of our county or our state. We'll have dignitaries such as Kim. I call her a dignitary. And they'll speak about issues and problems that, and then we'll have people from other nonprofits come.
Okay.
And they'll tell about the work they're doing somewhere. This is the key. I probably should have told you this beforehand. But we'll have people come from another group. That's how we, say Pro Literacy Detroit,
yes.
Who I talked about, a nonprofit in Detroit. They'll come to our club and tell us about the work they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get on board with them. They might have a special project they're looking for us to chip in with. So you have a lot of that. People from other groups coming in. You'll have the mayor comes once a year and gives us a state of the city address where he tells us what's going on with the city.
Wow. Your own.
Yeah. Yeah. And then all kinds of people. It's just, we had a person come from the zoo. They were like the president of the Detroit Zoo or one of the heads up. And they told us about the zoo. We have interesting things like that,
Okay.
All sorts of people come.
Wow.
So.
And these are year-round, or is this strictly like a September to May sort of thing?
Year-round, every Thursday. Like I said, we're not going to have a meeting in between Christmas and New Year's. We cancel that one.
Right.
Every year. I shouldn't say cancel. We choose not to have one that time of the year. So there's certain times where you'll want to check our website. We have a calendar of when all of our meetings are, as well as all of our events and things. There's
okay.
a calendar. You can check it out.
Okay.
So make sure before you come that you check with us. But 9 times out of 10, we're meeting every Thursday. But
okay.
there are certain circumstances where we don't. And we usually have a makeup meeting. We'll have
okay.
We'll have a picnic on a Tuesday night or something. We'll do something cool.
Okay.
So.
Wow. Again, I'm impressed with the age range that you're covering. I'm impressed with the projects. This has been an absolute fascinating discussion. So,
oh, thank you.
And you must have a wonderful webmaster, too, because there's a lot going on that website, which is?
DearbornRotary.org.
Okay.
And we do. We have a great webmaster. Jim Ives, who I mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
he manages it for us.
Okay.
And we're lucky to have him because he does a great job. He updates it daily, basically, every week, daily.
Okay.
So,
One of the things I've been talking with a number of different 501Cs as it's getting colder, and now we're really getting into the cold. Are you collecting anything as the Rotary Club? Do you collect anything?
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking for socks, or are you looking for hygiene items, or anything like? Or is that just not your focus?
Right now, I don't think we are. We
okay.
do throughout the year. We do coats for kids, and we
okay.
collected coats, but that was earlier in the year.
So you're pretty much piggybacking on other organizations when it comes to the collecting. Is that fair?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes. Sometimes we are.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
okay.
we do that, but not always. Sometimes our Rotary initiatives, like the one we did here, I keep going back to the Kids Against Hunger. That was
okay.
strictly a Rotary District initiative.
Yes.
But yeah, lots of times, what's the Shelter Box? Have you ever heard of Shelter Box?
I have not.
Okay, they, what do? They provide shelter. Makeshift homes for people.
Okay.
Is what they do. So we'll get involved with projects like that where we do piggyback. They'll come in and tell us about a need, mm-hmm. and we'll help them with it.
Okay.
But right now, I can't think of anything we're collecting other than money.
Okay. One size fits all.
Right.
Okay, so...
money and volunteers.
Right.
Money and manpower, I should say. Manpower probably most.
If I have another organization that's doing wonderful things and I might like to approach you for some help, best thing to do is send you an email. And
send us an email.
We can talk about it.
We can talk about it, and if... we'll probably even set you up to come in and speak about it at one of our meetings.
Ah, okay.
And you can tell the whole... Sometimes what will happen is another group, just like you were saying, comes in, they speak to us. Our club chooses not to get involved, but some of our members will end up donating individually.
Sure.
So we may not donate. The Dearborn Rotary may not donate, but some of our members will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Reagan, this has been a delight. Thank you so much for telling me about Rotary. I thought I knew all about... the service clubs in Dearborn, and I don't, but I know about Rotary now. So we'll be sure to touch base at homecoming because WHFR is there every year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where I met Jay at homecoming.
Oh, okay.
He was there with another gentleman. They were doing a show, and I was interested. I like politics, local politics, and they were doing a local political show, and I never heard one before because no one, you know, international, and you hear about national politics.
Right,
you never hear about the local stuff.
Wow. Well, Reagan, thank you so much for being here today with Impact, and thank you all for listening to Impact, the show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. The views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio nor Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Well, I thought I had enough.
What are you playing?
Jerry Allen.
Okay, it's on one? Okay. I didn't see the timer going.
I tried to make your life easier. Mine obviously was not.
Oh, very good.
First time I've had to share a microphone.
Good to meet you. I'm the one with the cheesy, joisy accent.
She's ready to tell you.
He does. Wait to hear him. It's the cheesiest, joisy accent you've ever heard in your life.
Talk show?
No.
Well, yes, but radio, not today.
DJ,
I do a talk show, and now I do a music show.
Cool. How old are you talking like?
50s and 60s.
All right.
Cheesy Joyce.
The Jersey Boy. You've probably seen that movie then.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Saw the play twice. Saw the movie twice. Probably Four Seasons, Buddy Holly, and the Crickets, and Drifters.
I like a lot of older music. I'm more of a older kind of traditional one, with Waylon Jennings, things of that nature.
I gotta bring this up.
My dad's an Elvis guy.
Oh,
a Beatles guy.
You said groups. Elvis is my favorite.
Get set. I want to find out if something's okay or not okay, because it wasn't okay Saturday.